JPT here on Sound Therapy Radio on CGSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Top of the Rock in Burnaby on unceded Coast Salish airwaves. And we're also on the internet, CGSF.ca. We have an amazing show, as always, every week. We have Theta Phoenix, who's come all the way from Surrey by way of the archipelago and other natural places. We have Alicia Hansen, we're going to talk to you by telephone, and some occupiers from Vancouver in New York. Social change people in New York City. So less provocative way of talking about that. And they're going to share some stories about people's movement in New York and what's going on. All right. Be right back. Here's some Alex Cuba.
Declaring you're my love tonight.
SFU's student-based social justice resource center.
Tell me more.
Some of the action groups include Open Media, Ancient Forests, Queer Ally Project, and Food Not Bombs, to name a few.
I want to be heard.
For more information, visit sfpirg.ca.
When they crossed the bridge to cool the planet, we were there. When they dug in for climate change, we were there. When they bicycled for music, we rode along. The Vancouver Community Television Association is looking for people with a passion for the media and the environment. We hope to use the ability of community television to reach out to Shaw's 660,000 cable subscribers and combine this with the global audience of the internet and create a multimedia platform that will sow the seeds of a new reality. In spring 2011, we plan to launch a 26-episode program to be broadcast by the Vancouver Community Television Association. If you wish to get involved, come out on Tuesday, February 8th at 7 p.m. to the Vancouver Community Television Association office at 305B 1067 Granville Street in Vancouver. For more information, contact us at ecovillage@vcommunity.tv.
The Higher Student Centers are now open in 7 locations throughout the Lower Mainland. Students can access job postings, design professional resumes, and prepare for interviews at the centers. Employers can post job positions at no charge and find hundreds of enthusiastic students to fill them. For more information, call 604-666-HIGHER. That's 666-9830.
Now you can hear me, JPG Sound Therapy Radio. Sorry about that. The whole button thing has messed me up today right now. Welcome to the studio, Theta Phoenix.
Thank you.
Oh, grab the mic. John.
Thank you.
Prentice is taking photos and is changing the whole acoustic setup of our thing. It'll work.
How's that?
Yes, it works great. So, and then Ariel, who's joining us and a big part of the Sound Therapy Radio Empire. And John Prentice, who's our photographer, is loitering in the studio. And we will be doing a phone call with Alicia Hansen, who is a musician based out of Bowen Island. So we'll be giving her a call. She'll be calling us actually.
I think I went to music school.
7:20. There
oh,
you go.
Oh, nice.
So you may have be able to have a conversation with her. So how's your tuning going? You have is that a hummingbird? An almost
Suzuki.
Hummingbird?
It's a hummingbird.
Oh, there you go.
No, it's a dove.
Sorry.
Dove on my guitar.
You have. I was at the Long McQuaid today playing guitars all an hour's worth. And there's this Trainer amp I fell in love with. It had this amazing hall like reverb. It was like I was singing by myself in, I don't know, the Grand Ole Opry or something like that. I don't even know what that is. It just sounded really neat. But today I've got a random theme for the show. The sounds and voices of nature. Would you like that?
I like it.
Yeah? Okay. Mm-hmm. So
I love nature.
Yeah, of course. And this is why. Because last week I was retreating in nature for a whole week and just listening to sounds and just getting all my senses retuned, because being part of the you know, the activism and stuff in the city, there's all these cacophony of other noises like sirens and, you know, just these human generated sounds that aren't. And so what is happening is my ears were starting to shut things off, and I was like asking people to repeat themselves all the time, and so it was like I was losing my hearing. So I had to go back and then retune it, and I think it was just there was so much this other noise that my animal instincts were saying, like, man, it's too much. And so that's how I was surviving there. So I can hear again. Part of it, I think partially too, is because my glasses are really scratched and dirty. And so I can't read people's lips. Yeah. So, but then I can't see. So I have to like be like really close to hear you. It's all messed up. So if I get new contacts, then that'll all work. And the reason I'm using glasses is because when you're occupying, you don't want to wear contacts, because if you get pepper spray in your eyes, then it's all messed up. You mess up. So at least you can throw your glasses off and put. So it's purely, you know, worst case scenario functional. That is my life right now.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's all for love. So
definitely.
Are you ready? Did you want to play a tune?
Play a tune?
Or talk about yourself? Or
sure, I'll talk about myself.
Yeah, okay. Why don't you talk about yourself and tune till about 7:20, because Alicia will be calling us. So is that good?
Sure.
That's enough.
And I'll play a song.
Yeah.
Just speaking of the whole theme of nature and nature sounds, as you know, I got to grow up for part of my childhood in the Broughton Archipelago.
Yeah.
And that is...
Whereabouts? Because there's only like 150 people that kind of live there.
Oh, now there's like 8.
Yeah.
8 people.
Yeah.
But I moved there in 1986 when I was just a kid, and went to a one-room schoolhouse that had 12 kids in it. And basically it's located between Northern Vancouver Island and the mainland. So Port McNeil is the closest main town, basically. And it's like 25 miles out there. And it was amazing, because I went and with my mom and my brother, and my mom's boyfriend, who is a fisherman, and
yeah. So you're there in '86 before the fishermen moved in, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they started in '87.
So I was up there, and I knew Alexandra Morton. She was our neighbor, and yes, we love her. And yeah, went out, got to go out, you know, salmon fishing and eat all this beautiful fresh wild salmon all the time.
Yes, yes.
And also. Basically, I just loved it. We lived on a float house with no electricity, and I was so in love with the nature, with the sky, the seagulls, the ocean, the wind, the rain, the sun, like just all the weather and all the life and of
so
nature,
many,
the trees.
It says so much. And it's in the music. It comes out, right?
There's yeah. So and one of my favorite experiences. I loved whales. Before I moved out of the city, because I moved from Surrey, from White Rock, and I got to actually go out with Alex, because she was, you know, studying whales, orca whales and dolphins, whatever kind of wild mammals were in the area, and I actually got to go on the boat with her and just be out having sightings with the whales, and she gave me a job. I would time the breaths of the bull, so I was doing research and like writing down the times, you know, of the bull orcas that were breathing. And actually my very first experience, our very first whale sighting, we jumped in the boat, because anytime whales were around, Alex would she'd say, "Oh, there's whales," and basically we'd go out and sort of be near them, and the very first time we pulled up, and then the orcas started swimming right towards us, and one actually came right by the boat and swam right by the boat with its eye and stared right into my eye. I was staring right into its eye.
That's amazing.
That was my very first orca sighting that was live.
They saw you. They're like, humans.
Yeah,
there are
exactly.
Only 150 of them around here. So they come out, and then we go check them out.
They were human sighting.
It was really special having that. And anyway, my mom still lives there. And I was just speaking with her before coming into
the studio. She's one of eight. She's 12% of the population.
Exactly.
Oh, can we visit your mom?
Yeah. And a few years ago, I was up there, and it was I was there for a few weeks in the summer, and it was a very, so much wildlife was there that particular year. And I would just go out in the rowboat and just see, you know, seals and porpoises and... And actually, there was a humpback whale right outside of our house breaching one day, and in fact, actually more than twice. And then I was actually in the rowboat at one point with this humpback whale really close by.
Oh,
so that was very exciting.
Do they know you're up there? Because they just kind of like... They're tough feeders, right?
Well, it was just breaching right around us, so it was all very exciting and full, and I ended up writing this song, which was... called On the Water, and it's basically a tribute to Echo Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Is what it's called up there. Do we need to move my mic at all? Okay.
No, I can get you. I got the gain on here.
So this is On the Water.
Rowboat on the water, drifting gently on the tide. Wind blows across the waves as the islands drift on by. I look up to the skies above, watch the eagles fly so high. Sunlight shines through the clouds, painting sunbeams in the sky. I hope I'll always stay afloat. I am free on the water, in my boat. All my cares fade. I hope it always stays this way. Ooh, oh, falls from a cedar perch overlooking the land. Raccoons comb the beach, sifting through the sand for crab. A pod of whale swims from the east. Dolphins leap through the air. A seal dives for a mouthful of fish. The school scatters everywhere. I am free on the water, drifting in my little boat. All my cares fade away. I hope it always stays afloat. I am free on the water, in my boat.
Reverb out, let it out.
It was let it ring. It I know I was hosting beautiful. An open mic at the Wired Monk recently, and some people would play these gorgeous songs, and then right at the when they were done, they would just go like slam on the guitar and stop all the reverb of the song, and that's like taking away the last feeling moment of the song.
Yeah, it's like a breath. It's like cutting off a breath.
Exactly. It's so important. Let it ring.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I mean, when you're out in nature, you can hear that, like. You know, just go. It never stops. It just keeps going.
Yeah, you can listen as far as you can.
Oh, please tell us more. Tell us more.
What else do you want to hear?
Well, save your next story, because we're going to talk to Alicia. We're going to take a quick break here on Sound Therapy Radio, and then Alicia Hansen will be calling us all the way from the farthest reaches of Bowen Island, all the way in Canada somewhere. Be right back.
The National Nikkei Museum and Heritage Center helps to preserve and promote Japanese-Canadian arts, history, and culture through programs and exhibits. It is located at 6688 South Oaks Crescent in Burnaby at Kingsway and Spurling Avenue. For more information, go to nikkeiplace.org, nikkeiplace.org. Youth in 57 Minutes, also known as Y57, is a volunteer-based radio show airing once a month. The Y57 program was founded with the intention of serving youth, acting as an outlet for youth expression. The program consists of music and talk radio, generating publicity for up-and-coming local musicians and facilitating discussion regarding issues relevant to Vancouver youth. The program showcases the creative talents and social initiatives of local youth, gaining them recognition in an otherwise privately owned media environment, one of which serves profitability and mainstream ideology over alternative opinion. This outlet empowers youth, granting them a public space to engage in social critique and to share their art.
Each program involves a Youth of the Month candidate, a news piece, and an interview with a local band. The Youth of the Month interview discusses his or her recent achievements regarding an organization he or she has started or participated in and that has developed or contributed to an important youth initiative. The news piece involves profiling or covering an event, organization, or local issue that is youth-oriented. Finally, each show, a musical artist is interviewed while having several of their songs played on air.
To listen to the broadcast and to learn more about Y57, please visit our website at www.y57.ca.
Mm. I'm singing through the PSAs, public service announcements. Oh, JPG. Sound Therapy Radio here on CGSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting all the way from the farthest reaches of Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada, universe, galaxy, Milky Way. And we have a special guest on the line, Alicia Hansen. Are you there? Hello.
Hello. Yes, I'm here.
So, we have mutual friends.
Do we?
There, this is your life. We have Theta Phoenix, who went to school with you at VCC. Is this correct?
Whoa, yeah, I'm sure.
Theta has been playing music. We've kind of have this random theme, Sounds of Nature. So you can go with that or talk a bit about what you've got going on with your brand new compact disc and performance coming up. Why don't you let us know what's going on for you?
Okay, yeah, I've got a show at the Western Front on Friday with a couple of amazing acts, Jess Hill and Julie McGeer, and that's starting at 8 p.m., and yeah, there's going to be a lot of amazing musicians on the bill, and people should come if they can.
Well, here, we're going to promote this heavily through this interview. So, in the lovely email that Heather sent us, it says, "The lyrics, deeply poetic and metaphorical, document the tortured relationships and mental anguish Hansen grappled with as she threw off the constraints of the classical world and sought to find her voice musically." It worked, by the way. Anyone who listens to the album will be relieved to hear that Hansen is feeling great these days. So, explain yourself, Ms. Hansen. What is that all about? Fractography. What's going on?
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's a really nice wording by my publicist. I guess the album is about, it sort of documents all the negative stuff that was happening in my life, as songs so often do. And I guess it all culminated in this album. Gee, what can I say about that? Yeah, it was a rough patch. It was a really dark period. It was my quarter century crisis that continued on longer than it should. And I wrote a lot of dark songs, and then I got over it. So,
and you're making a beautiful CD, so you're telling us a story about life, which is cool. So, so how did the music kind of process that for you? Like, what role does this fractography mean? Like, what in that whole? Can you give us more? Because I mean, everyone's going through this. Like, I mean, I do, and I process it through public radio.
Yeah.
I mean, like, share us, tell us the story, help us out.
Well, I guess, you know, the central issue in my quarter century crisis was the feeling that I knew what I had to do in life, but I didn't know if I could actually do it. I didn't think that I could do it, which was my music. And I mean, I've been doing music all my life. I've always been able to call myself a musician, and for a long time I've been making my living with music, but just not being musically fulfilled. And I started to realize that I was technically a musician, but I just didn't feel like I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, which was writing and performing my own music. And for whatever reason, I didn't think that I could. I guess I just didn't have enough confidence or place enough value in my songs. So, luckily enough, I applied for this Canada Council grant, a sort of a last-ditch effort to make something happen. And I got the grant, and I was completely surprised that I got it, and really thrilled, and then proceeded to hire a bunch of my favorite players, and worked with some really great people, and through the process of making the album, just realized that, you know, I can do my music, I am doing my music. It doesn't have to be anything earth-shattering or life-changing to just be doing it. And I guess that's what it was all about. That's how it helped me to get through that. And now I have an album, and I'm pretty pleased with it.
It's amazing.
Keep doing it.
It's spectacular, stupendous. You know, you've come a long way here. Like, I kind of read through this, you know, the press release and what you're saying as like, you know, you got into music and you kind of went through the structured Vancouver Chamber Choir and all the royal things. And I think, you know, I've kind of been through a very similar thing where it's all this constrainments and it's like, I just want to be an artist, but not know what it is actually that it was supposed to be. And so explain this feeling when you like, bling, I can be a musician and not be free of the structure, and how, because there's this kind of safetiness of the couch, you know, and then I'm going to get off the couch. To explain that feeling and when that happened for us.
Well, it was never a problem of getting getting off the couch. It was more of a problem of lowering my I don't want to say lowering my expectations or lowering my standards, but just realizing that, like, there was no greater story happening. Like, this is just my life, my day-to-day experience of living life, and if I'm not doing music, then the only one who really suffers from that is me. So,
you created this burden with your music that it's got to change the world and be for, you know, and inspire a gazillion people and that kind of thing, and then you kind of let that go. And
exactly, yeah, and realize that, you know, I never really felt like I was going to be a really successful classical musician because, well, you know, I had gone through that period of spending hours and hours and hours and hours a day practicing and still knowing that I wasn't going to be a concert pianist. I just didn't have whatever that takes. Same with the classical voice and in the jazz idiom. I knew that I wasn't, I didn't grow up with jazz, so I had never felt totally at home playing jazz standards. But writing my own music, which brings in all of the influences, everything in my life, and I get to write the lyrics, I get to sing, I get to play, I get to write the music. So it uses all parts of me at once and sort of it doesn't leave anything unattended or neglected in me. And it's just completely fulfilling and what I love to do. So
what animal would you say you are? Are you like a free-flowing eagle or a bird? Or come on, you're free. What is it? We're talking the sounds of nature. Come on, show us.
A raven. Let's
yes.
say a raven.
Oh, are you like a little, because ravens are tricksters. Are you a little satirical?
Yeah, you could say that, yeah.
Oh, well, we will dissect this in your lyrics. So this is the whole thing. People know me as a salmon guy, and you'll probably hear this a lot. But I have either come to this realization I am a salmon, or the fact that I'm around it so much that I've brought it on. But it explains certain types of my behavior. Like, I would kind of hold space and just kind of chillax in the stream, and then, boom! Gone. It's like unrecognizable for, you know, and he's like, he's in spawning phase, like, get out of his way, like, and then I would just like, yo, I'm holding space, and then I was like, I'd float back, he's like, yo guys, it's cool up there, and it's like, I can't go backwards, we can only go that way, because that's my parents' place, you know. So there's this cycle of the salmon and life cycle and these nuances I'm learning about the relationship, and I am salmon, so yeah. So raven, you know, there's a whole raven salmon song, salmon woman story that could go on.
I think so.
Yeah, but the raven's a trickster. This is good. Well,
yeah, I live on Bowen Island, so
oh, okay,
ravens everywhere.
So you like the raven too? That's you?
Yeah. I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I love the raven. They're just you know when.